I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
All over the country right now, people are wondering what Hillary Rodham Clinton is thinking, watching things unfold in Georgia. She's the former Democratic presidential nominee, U.S. Senator from New York, and Secretary of State. I should tell you, she has a new essay out in The Atlantic on the well-being of Americans and our democracy. It's called The Weaponization of Loneliness. Madam Secretary, fancy meeting you
here.
I can't believe this. Yeah, this is not the circumstances in which I expected to be talking to you.
Nor me, Rachel. It's always good to talk to you, but honestly, I didn't think that it would be under these circumstances. Yet another set of indictments.
And she's dancing on the grave of what she hopes would be Donald Trump. There you have Hillary, election denier Benghazi Clinton, with Rachel Maddow, MSNBC News, giggling and laughing about how funny it is that Trump's indicted again. Aren't you happy? Isn't it fun? And did you hear Rachel Maddow mention this latest article that Hillary has written? The weaponization of loneliness. What the heck? I could care less. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, August 15, 2023. This is the first hour of two of Larry Connors USA. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming at Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter. News Talk STL, Facebook and Twitter, and directly on Rumble. And if you miss anything, remember you can always go back and pull it up as a podcast, audio or video, at LarryConnorsUSA.com. Glad to have you. Well, it had been expected for some time, and in the last late hours yesterday, it grew increasingly possible, and sure enough, it happened. A grand jury in Georgia returning 10 indictments in the Fulton County District Attorney investigation into former President Donald Trump. Stop it right there for a moment. 1 second. Maybe more than one. These indictments I'm going to share with you as we move through this hour and the second hour, they could have been filed 18, 20 months ago or more. But it wouldn't fit the play game. And the schedule and the playbook of how we're going to, every time we get a chance, we're going to hammer Trump going into the election. In fact, this prosecutor wants Trump to surrender and the other defendants that are named. There are 18 other co-defendants indicted. He is to surrender by Friday week. And she's already indicating we are going to take mugshots. Does she not know and realize that she's actually going to add more fuel to the Trump campaign? They do not get it. And, of course, they're still trying to do everything they can from to distract from Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and the testimony the other day from Devin Archer and the investigation continuing and the FBI agent who now admits that, yes, it is true, Joe Biden was tipped off in advance that FBI agents were going to be interviewing his son. Does that sound the way law enforcement should work? Isn't this like the cop inside the squad that calls the drug dealer because their good friends say, hey, they're going to be at your house at 8 o'clock. Better clean it out or you don't be there. That's as dirty as it sounds to me. What about you? Well, let's go back to Hillary laughing. Election denier Hillary Clinton, Benghazi Clinton, is asked by Rachel Maddow, does this satisfy you?
Do you feel satisfaction in that? You warned the country, essentially, that he was going to try to end democracy, but the most of the country didn't believe you.
Well, it's hard to believe. I don't feel any satisfaction. I feel great, just great, profound sadness that we have a former president who has been indicted for so many charges that went right to the heart of whether or not our democracy would survive. He set out to defraud the United States of America and the citizens of our nation. He used tactics of harassment, intimidation. He made threats. He and his allies went after state officials, local officials responsible for conducting elections. Now we know they even went into voting machines in order to, determine whether or not those voting machines had somehow been breached when they were the ones actually doing the breaching.
She dare talk about breaching? Did she mean bleaching like she did with her iPhone and any records on her private system about emails that she did not surrender during the investigation of her private email server? Hillary Clinton is trying to be, she wants to be joyful and laugh. And I will guarantee you, they were toasting with champagne after that program. But while she had a little laugh, she also has to be more serious and to point out this was our democracy at stake. And that it's now proven everything that's in the allegation, she's now indicating, is a fact. Hillary Clinton, believe it or not, has a law degree. She does understand and knows, but is ignoring. These are just charges. There's not a conviction. But if she wants to go that route, then what do you say we turn it around and look right at Joe Biden? Well, he's not actually charged, Larry, with anything. No, he's not. But everything is leading to the steps of the Oval Office. So Hillary is, well, I'm not satisfied, but I'm glad we're seeing justice done. The woman cannot spell the word justice. And before we break down some of the charges that she kind of glossed over, just putting another coat or two of paint over it so you don't really see the details, before I get into some of the details, while she is gleefully laughing and saying, well, I'm not so much satisfied except that democracy is winning, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas minces no words.
I'm pissed at these over and over and over again. This is disgraceful. Our country is over 200 years old. We have never once indicted a former president or a candidate and a leading candidate for president. And this is Joe Biden and this is the Democrats weaponizing the justice system because they're afraid of the voters. This is disgraceful. It is wrong. And it is an abuse of power by angry Democrats who have decided the rule of law doesn't matter to them anymore.
The rule of law does not matter to them, and that is a fact. Harvard Law School Professor Emeritus Alan Dershowitz is saying that the district attorney in Fulton County has indicted the former president for a, quote, conspiracy that was exactly what Democrats did in challenging the 2000 election. He said that the claims of fraud, the tactics of the Trump team, were neither more nor less than what Democrats had done in claiming that the election had been stolen by then Vice President Al Gore by Republicans pushing for then Governor George W. Bush. Specifically, he said Trump's actions were very similar to that of Al Gore's legal strategy. And Dershowitz should know he led the strategy for Al Gore. He said, we challenged the election. We did much of the things that are being done today, and people praised us. I wrote a best-selling book called Supreme Injustice. Now they're making it a crime. And he continued, you cannot make crimes out of things Democrats did. The John Kennedy election, 2000 election, 2016, Jamie Raskin gets up and does some of the same things. These are political actions that the Constitution prefers us to take rather than going onto the streets and rioting. We're supposed to go to court. We're supposed to go to Congress. You cannot make those things crimes. And you cannot expand the RICO statute to now include political objections. The words of Alan Dershowitz. I want to give you another view. This is a Fox News contributor, but he had served as a White House speechwriter, lead speechwriter for President George W. Bush. Bill McGurn and his view of what happened yesterday and the repercussions.
It's chaos a year before the real primaries. And Donald Trump, whether people like him or oppose him, it's for the same reason. He's a disruptive force. And now we have this talk of a new indictment. It looks like every prosecutor in the U.S. is trying to indict Donald Trump. And in a way, it's kind of become so cheap. And I look at the calendar and say, oh, if this is Monday, there must be a new indictment. The danger in all this is, without a doubt, the indictment solidified Trump in the Republican Party, and they diminished all the other people running for president. In a way, it could be brilliant. You know, whether this is Joe Biden's calculation, this is the best way to win, to have Trump as the nominee. The bet is, though, that it will hurt him in the general election. And I think that's still a safe bet, but I think as Biden's unpopularity grows, there's a real risk. I mean, we may have a battle between an ex-president who's under indictment and a current president who's about to be impeached, and it may be a test to who's less popular. So I think Biden is playing with fire here.
Playing with fire. It could be a case of last man standing, you think? But Hillary Clinton, election denier, Hillary Benghazi Clinton, she wants to claim, and she has no right to do so, but she's trying to claim the high moral ground.
I don't know that anybody should be satisfied. This is a terrible moment for our country to have a former president accused of these terribly important crimes. The only satisfaction may be that the system is working, that all of the efforts by Donald Trump, his allies, and his enablers to try to silence the truth, to try to undermine democracy, have been brought into the light, and justice is being pursued.
Justice is being pursued, and she loves justice being pursued, as long as justice is not doing its job against the Clintons nor the Bidens. In this case, let's take a closer look at the actual facts.
Specifically, the participants in association took various actions in Georgia and elsewhere to block the counting of the votes of the presidential electors who were certified as the winners of Georgia's 2020 general election. As you examine the indictment, you will see acts that are identified as overt acts and those that are identified as predicate acts, sometimes called acts of racketeering activity.
There you have Fannie Willis, the Fulton County District Attorney, trying to link Donald Trump and the others named in this indictment to the RICO Act, racketeering, what you usually reserve for mobsters. Oh, this gives them an open door to go into any corner, anywhere. 98-page indictment targeting Trump and 18 other co-defendants, among them former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, former Georgia Republican Party Chairman David Schaefer, and, of course, former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, Sidney Powell, we've had on before, and, in fact, I was trying to line her up last week to get her back on the program, and she said, Larry, I'd love to, but I'm going to have to wait and see what happens. I didn't ask her specifically in the text, the messages going back and forth, are you talking about Georgia or something else, but I just said, all right, well, when you can, I would like to have you back on with us. So we'll still be trying to get Sidney Powell on at some point, but now charges are officially filed. I'm not sure she can. So the grand jury met for approximately 10 hours, heard testimony, then voted on the charges late yesterday, the judge signing off around 9 Eastern time last night. The jury was expected to convene again through Tuesday, but pushed its agenda quicker. And among the charges again, there's some really strange ones. For one of them basically describes Mark Meadows, former White House officer, chief of staff, simply asking for a phone number, that was evidence of a conspiracy because he asked for a phone number. And then, of course, they went after the tweets of Donald Trump, claiming that, again, all of these point to a conspiracy. On or about the 30th day of December, 2020, Donald John Trump tweeted, "Hearings from Atlanta on the Georgia election overturn now being broadcast live." And they had, simply because he added that, he put that in a tweet, "This was an overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy." Are you kidding me? This is First Amendment right stuff we're talking about. This 41-count indictment. Fannie Willis spending nearly 3 years on this and bringing it all to the head now with the intent to have Trump on trial the very month that the Republican primaries start. What a sense of timing. You got to give the Democrats credit for that. Come on, friend. Ease up. Send them a party cake. Do something. Balloons. Send them a greetings. You guys are so good at timing. And yet, while they're doing this and going after Trump and claiming because he denied the election and was fighting against it, they're ignoring twice failed Georgia gubernatorial candidate, National Democrat celebrity Stacey Abrams, still denying that she didn't win the governor, so a race. But the prosecutor is not going after her. And then Willis has to make this statement, which she almost chokes over.
"The indictment includes 41 felony counts and is 97 pages long. Please remember that everyone charged in this bill of indictment is presumed innocent. Specifically, the indictment brings felony charges against Donald John Trump."
I don't know if Hillary heard that remark from her. Everyone's presumed innocent. And of course, she's got to say, does she say that to make us believe this is a fair, unbiased prosecution? We're going to have more on the Fulton County DA in the second hour. Also in the second hour, a shocking report on how much money your family's been paying to support Ukraine. And you're going to spend more. That's all in the next hour. Before this hour is over, the blue collar song that is the new rally cry for patriots. You don't want to miss that before we conclude this hour. And certainly you want to stick around for the second hour. And coming up next, my guest insists Democrats are trying to make free speech illegal. Illegal. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
You can text Larry right now at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I have a piece here in front of me written by Sean Fleetwood of The Federalist. The title, Fulton County's Bogus Trump Indictment, is Democrats' latest attempt to criminalize free speech. Sean, welcome aboard.
Thanks so much, Pamela. It's good to be back.
I tell you what, I think the headline summed everything up, but let's break it down. You're talking, of course, obviously, as we've been before you joined us, about Fannie Willis and pointing out that Trump and 18 others are being charged with conspiracy, endeavoring to conduct and participate a criminal enterprise, kind of like a mobster RICO charge. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's basically the idea, that there was this widespread conspiracy that was led by Trump and his lawyers, that they knew definitively that Trump had lost the election, but they were really just going to these Georgia election officials and claiming otherwise, trying to get them to overturn the election. And when you actually read through the indictment, which is almost 100 pages long, Fannie Willis lays out all of these different acts which she says contribute to this grand conspiracy. And when you read through it, it's so egregious, the acts that she's listing, you know, that partake in this conspiracy. I mean, one example is that Trump was telling his followers on Twitter at the time to tune into One American News Network to watch a Georgia legislature hearing
right.
about the conduction of the 2020 election. And she cited another tweet of his telling people to tune into OAN and Newsmax and watch these hearings. And it's really amazing, because while these incidents are not crimes themselves, what she's essentially trying to argue is that any time someone is going to challenge an election or has an issue with an election, that a prosecutor can take all of these statements or tweets or actions to, you know, legally address the election problems that they are alleging, that you can take all of those, put them together, and say, this is a grand conspiracy to overturn the election. So we could take this same logic and apply it to Hillary Clinton and Democrats.
Yeah, you could.
After the
but
2020 election.
But you would be spitting in the face of their narrative, Sean. That's not the way you want to play the game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you could take, you know, the Hillary Clinton thing. I mean, she for years said Donald Trump is an illegitimate president.
Right.
He didn't really win the election. It was Russia who interfered on his behalf.
But they're quick to point out, the next morning she came out and said he won. And then immediately she started denying it. And you got Stacey Abrams right there in Georgia, twice denying that she lost her gubernatorial race. Where's the charge? Where's the charge there?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Stacey Abrams, it's worth pointing out, she, going into the 2018 gubernatorial election, had publicly said, you know, I'm hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt when it comes to, like, student loans and credit card debt. And then you look at the years that followed her 2018 loss, she has a net worth that's over $3 million. So, and this was after she was out there falsely claiming the election was stolen, that voters were suppressed, even though courts said that's not true, after her lawsuits had been struck down. So she's out there getting rich off of this. Meanwhile, you have Trump and his legal team having the book thrown at them and essentially, you know, making it so they're going to be thrown in prison or put on house arrest for a very long time.
Well, let's say one part of the things I want to share with you, and I know you're aware of it, and I'd mentioned it to the audience earlier, that when you begin to look at the charges and break down what's there, Harvard Law School professor emeritus Alan Dershowitz said, they did exactly what we did when Al Gore challenged the election. He said, I know, I led the team. They did the tactics we were trying to employ. They did the same thing. He said, I wrote a book about it, Supreme Injustice. Now they're making what we did was a crime.
Yeah, exactly. And I really want to dial down on this one point that is notable in the indictment, and this is a narrative that the media has been running with for weeks, is that there's this term fake electors. There is no such thing as a fake elector. What you had in Georgia was you had the Trump team have their electors in place, that in the event that one of their lawsuits was successful and the results of the election was overturned and the state went to Trump, that his electors would be ready to cast their votes, you know, to put Georgia in the Trump column. That's perfectly legal and legitimate. You go back to the 1960 election between JFK and Richard Nixon. There was a dispute over Hawaii and its electoral votes. So you had both sides, the Nixon electors and the JFK electors, cast their votes for their candidates. The whole case made its way through the legal system, and ultimately the electoral votes went to Kennedy. That's a perfectly you know, that's very similar to what happened here. That's perfectly legal, constitutional, and legitimate. But of course, with the left, that's never what any of this is about. It's about weaponizing the law to use it to squash your political opponents and to destroy dissent in this country, because ultimately that's what they want. They want a one-party state. They don't want free, fair elections. They don't want a legal system that's applied equally to everyone. They want essentially a communist party state where you are the serf to them, and you can't question or, you know, have an opinion about anything that they do, no matter how much it violates your personal rights.
You're listening to Sean Fleetwood with The Federalist. I had pointed out to the audience earlier that they were even, the things they were scooping up, I mean, they were digging everything they could find, and whatever you bring, you know, it's like, if you go dragging in a lake, you don't have no idea what you're going to pull up. Some of you are like, what the hell is it? Throw it back in. But in this case, this was a very important thing. They pointed out that on or about the 21st day of November 2020, Mark Randall Meadow, who was with the White House, of course, sent a text to U.S. Representative Scott Perry from Pennsylvania and stated, can you send me the number for the speaker and leader of the PA legislature, Pennsylvania legislature? POTUS wants to chat with them. And then they add, this was an overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy. He asked for a phone number.
Yep. And that just goes to show how far they're willing to go. I mean, it doesn't matter how innocent an action or a, you know, a statement or a tweet is. They're just going to distort it and twist it to fit whatever they need to charge you and throw you in prison. I mean, that's their ultimate end goal here. I think sometimes there's almost a reality TV like, you know, how do I say this? It's kind of like this appearance of a reality TV show that, you know, Trump might not actually go to jail. But we have four different cases of indictments, this Fulton County being the fourth one. You look at the jury pools in these areas, Fulton County, Georgia, heavily Democrat, Washington, D.C., heavily Democrat, Manhattan, New York, heavily Democrat. They're going to convict Donald Trump. He is going to either be thrown in prison or placed on house arrest. That's almost a given. And you look at what House Republicans are doing. What are they doing?
I'm sorry. Let me stop you for 1 second. You are convinced that he will be jailed for one of these?
I believe so. Yeah, I think that that's almost a guarantee. I don't think that they are going to let you vote for him come 2024. I just don't see that happening. They've been trying to get this guy for years, and now they have these cases in these deep blue districts.
But you got to jail them. You got to jail them on legitimate charges that are proven. And if Dershowitz comes forward and says they did exactly what we did, and the handling of the classified documents out of that might be one of the bigger cases that has more legitimacy to it. But when you start looking at how Biden had them spread all over in different homes and in the garage, I mean, where are they going to find, other than, like you say, with a jury? But immediately that would be appealed. I don't see him going behind bars at any point.
Well, I think you have to look, you know, it depends on where the jury is, right?
Well, so, sure.
Right. So, like, if it's in places like Manhattan, you know, and these are local or state charges, I mean, where are you going to appeal? Like the New York Supreme Court? That I don't think that's going to rule favorably in his opinion. I don't think they care at this point what the facts of the case are. They've shown time and again, not just on this issue, but many issues, that they don't care what the facts or the legal standards are.
You nailed it. They don't care about the facts.
They're just going to go after you no matter what.
And the timing again, their playbook, all of these charges, she's been working on this for 3 years. Everything she's detailed goes back at least that far. They could have done that within the first 12 months of the election and any other time. Mm-hmm. But everything has been scheduled. You know, more pressure is building on Biden, a former FBI agent coming out yesterday and acknowledging, yes, a prior agent who testified that we notified Joe Biden we were going to be talking to his son, that we did do that. I mean, all this stuff, every time something comes out that is damning or damaging to Joe Biden in one way or the other, they drop another charge.
That's exactly right.
How many more charges can they come up with at this point?
Right. I mean, I think Fox News put out this graphic the other week showing you how after each bombshell revelation about the Biden family corruption, the very next day you had an indictment against Trump or an announcement. I mean, you go back a couple months ago when House Republicans on the Oversight Committee came out with these text messages between Hunter Biden and these Chinese businessmen. Right. And my dad's right here in the room next to me. The very same time that that's happening, the DOJ comes out and indicts New York Republican Congressman George Santos for lying under oath and other related charges. So it's absolutely coordinated, and I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of these district attorneys are in coordination or in contact with the DOJ over issues like that.
That raises a question of how much conspiracy is existing among them.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I'm not saying, you know, that's happening, but I just would not be surprised if that's happening at all, because we've just seen in the past year alone how corrupt the deep state, and I know it's an overused term, but how deep the deep state really is and how far they're willing to go to bend the law, to break the law, to prosecute their political opponents. And whether that's someone like Donald Trump, whether that's a pro-life protester exercising his First Amendment like Mark Houck, they don't care. They are coming for you because you are their ultimate target. Power is what they are after, and they will railroad anyone that they have to get to it.
Sean Fleetwood, you've nailed so many points. I appreciate you spending time with us again.
Thank you so much for having me, Larry. God bless.
You bet. God bless. Sean Fleetwood of The Federalist. Again, you can check out his article about the Trump Georgia indictment. Really an indictment against free speech. Coming up, I want you to hear some segments of that new blue-collar patriotic song that's causing such a stir. And at the same time before that, when you look at all these charges piling up against Trump and the timing of the Fulton County DA, she wants him on trial when the primaries start. But one source, even from the left, is coming forward and saying it is still Donald Trump's Republican Party. Stand by, please.
Allen Outdoor Solutions knows what you want. An oasis, a place at your home to relax, enjoy, entertain. Allen Outdoor Solutions can design and build your oasis. A spacious stone patio, different levels, maybe a fireplace, flowing water. See their quality work at AllenOutdoorSTL.com. AllenOutdoorSTL.com or call 314-647-4800. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. And as I was saying as we wrapped up that preceding segment, there are some that are saying, and I think many would agree, every time they file more charges against Donald Trump, the stronger he gets. The charges are not kryptonite to Donald Trump. Not at all. They are fueling his advantage. And to the demise of other Republican candidates. They're probably wishing, would you stop with the indictments? We'll never catch up. Which, by the way, you are aware, I think I mentioned the other day that I could see it happening, but one of the latest surveys, and I don't have it here in front of me right now, shows that Vivek Ramaswamy has surpassed DeSantis. DeSantis is derailing. And Trump continues to attack him, and I wish he would stop. There's no value to doing that. But it's no surprise to me that Vivek Ramaswamy is beginning to show more resilience than DeSantis, more popularity. DeSantis has done a great job in Florida, and I think he could be good for the nation. Vivek is also bringing to the forefront a new energy and a new approach. That's part of the issue that Trump is going to have to deal with, not just these indictments, but those who fear that if we put him up against anyone on the Democrat Party, will he actually win? I'm certainly not going to tell you how to vote. That's going to be your decision. But I do encourage you to make sure that you do vote. And in the primary, what happened last time, there were so many primary candidates that he was the last man standing. And then against Hillary. So I want to share this with you from The Independent. Now, this is a British publication. It leans left. The author is Eric Garcia. And the title is, No Matter How Many Indictments, It Is Still Donald Trump's Republican Party. Do you agree with that? He goes on to begin by talking about the grand jury indictments being handed down last night. And he points out that all of these charges might make him less appealing to independent voters and other demographics Republicans might need to win the general election. But then he points out that Mr. Trump's legal troubles could not be further from the minds of voters in Iowa through the state fair this last weekend when he visited the Hawkeye State. He said, in fact, as I noticed after his first federal indictment in North Carolina, it likely makes Republican voters rally around him even more. And he would need a full show of support if he is to solidify his control of the GOP next year. The article written by Eric Garcia for The Independent continues. Few states have vexed former President Trump more than Iowa. In 2016, he narrowly lost the state to Senator Ted Cruz, who pulled off a stunner against the then political neophyte thanks to aggressive campaigning. Mr. Trump would win the state in 2016, again in 2020 during the general elections, turning Iowa from a battleground state that had voted for Democrat in all but one presidential election from 1992 to 2012 to a solid Republican state. Since then, though, he has picked a fight with that state's governor, Kim Reynolds, a former ally, for her supposed closeness with his chief rival at that time, and may still be, Florida Governor DeSantis. In fact, a New York Times Siena College poll showed that Trump's lead in the Hawkeye State is large, but not as big as it is nationally or as in other states like New Hampshire and South Carolina, both of which Trump won in 2016. But then Trump cemented his dominance this weekend, visiting the Iowa State Fair. Members of Congress from Florida's Republican delegation, such as Congressman Byron Donalds, Anna Luna, Corey Mills, Greg Stube, Matt Gaetz flanking him, a reminder that they had chosen to back Trump over their governor, DeSantis. He goes on to point out, any sign that Trump might be contrite about the actions have led to his indictments almost non-existent. In fact, he quotes Gaetz as saying, we know that only through force can we make any change in a corrupt town like D.C. And you do have to stop and think about this for a moment. If the Republicans had not gained control of the House in that midterm election, then we wouldn't know a lot of this stuff about Biden and Hunter. Everything wouldn't be spilled out in front of you. That is how important every election is, not just for the president, midterm elections, and of course, congressmen come around every 2 years, they've got to be reelected. They are no sooner sworn in than they got to start thinking about raising money and campaigning 2 years from then. So I wonder that anything gets done when they're constantly having to lobby and pull on fundraisers for getting more dollars into their war chest for the next election. Senators get 6 years. But that doesn't mean that they're not thinking about it the moment they take the oath the first time. Where am I going to get the money for another term? Trump at this point, fighting against DeSantis as he is, and yet still having, as I just mentioned, the Republican delegation showing up supporting him in Iowa, he shows his strength beyond just any particular part of the nation. And of course, now we got this fourth indictment. This article, by the way, was written before the actual indictment came down last night. It began, as I said earlier, no matter how many indictments, it is still Donald Trump's Republican Party. They did top at the beginning of it saying a grand jury in Fulton County handed down yet another indictment, but deeper into the same article by Eric Garcia for The Independent, you can clear that they did not go in and clean some language up, because in one of the paragraphs it begins, the former president also faces a potential fourth indictment for his attempts to overturn the election results in Georgia. So that's the way it was written prior to the indictments last night, and then they had to top the beginning of it, but they did not turn around and clean it up all the way. I'm just pointing out a journalistic issue. And he goes on to point out that Trump's hold over the GOP also was manifested in those who were tormenting other candidates, and added that, not surprisingly, former Vice President Mike Pence and DeSantis, the biggest targets. And pointing out that, of course, Pence is a source of many Trump supporters' anger because of his refusal to overturn the election results January 6th, which led to threats on his life. And that was wrong for any threats to be made against Pence. And you and I could argue, if you want to, about Pence, if he had a right authority. I say he didn't. But we could argue about it. But the bottom line is, it's done. At some point, we got to quit rehashing it. This is exactly what the Democrats want to do. The progressives want to continue, go over January 6th, go over everything there. Why do you think all of these charges against Trump released last night were not filed months ago? Timing. It's like a comedian pulling his timing, and that's kind of a comedy farce here that we're dealing with. During DeSantis, while he was trying to address the folks in Iowa, a plane flew by with a banner saying, "Be likable, Ron." That's something Gates had uttered to DeSantis during the 2018 gubernatorial campaign. And he points out DeSantis has struggled to shake the image of him being awkward, impersonal, even rude. And, you know, those terms could certainly apply to Trump, but they've fallen upon DeSantis and on his shoulders. And he concludes his article in this way. "But even though Iowa might be slightly more competitive than other states, the fact remains that Republican voters still see the former president as the leader of the GOP. And that makes victory infinitely more possible than any of his would-be challengers for the crown, of being the nominee from the GOP. And then, of course, comes the idea and the question of who would he pick to serve with him on the ticket. Well, I wanted to share that article with you because the main line that stands out, two lines, despite all the indictments, Trump gets stronger. And two, it is still Donald Trump's Republican Party. Coming up, the latest song, does it reflect working men and women of our nation or not?
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, I've been selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours for bullshit pay, so I can sit out here and waste my life away. Drag back home and drown my troubles away. It's a damn shame.
That is a Virginia native, Oliver Anthony. His song, Rich Men North of Richmond, talking about basically the rich guys that are in control of us. And the rest of us, blue-collar workers, men, women, we're at their mercy unless we stand up against them. He's an Appalachian country folk singer, and yet, as written in Variety, and the piece authored by Chris William, or Willem, I should say, there are immediate suspicions that while he appears to be a smash hit among conservatives, progressives are thinking he's a plant. That's he just kind of does this just for fun, and he doesn't really believe any of this. I don't think anyone of any common sense would buy into that. But whatever they can do to demolish and destroy anyone that challenges them, they're going to try. Now, what has happened, his song has already apparently gone higher than Jason Aldean's Try That in a Small Town. Oliver Anthony was doing this on a YouTube presentation, not his own presentation. He used another YouTube channel that was just basically looking for new sounds, new music. 12 million views in 6 days. If that's a plant, he's growing like crazy. And again, the song by Oliver Anthony, Rich Men North of Richmond.
Lord, we got folks in the street, ain't got nothing to eat, and the obese milk and welfare. Keep on kicking them down. Lord, it's a damn shame what the world's gotten to. For people like me, people like you, wish I could just wake up and it not be true. But it is. Oh, it is. Living in the new world.
In a YouTube monologue he put up a few days before that song was released, he declared himself nonpartisan. He said, I sit pretty dead center down the aisle on politics, always have. I remember as a kid the conservatives wanting war, me not understanding that. I remember a lot of conservatives when the left took office, and it seems like, you know, both sides serve the same master. And that master is not someone of any good to the people of this country. He has hit not just a chord with the nation, but he struck it with an amazing force. And the left wants to say this is a plant because they don't believe anybody could be that genuine. That's why I'm here for you. I thank you. Second hour coming up. Don't forget our pledge. Remember our pledge. One nation under God.